The text for this morning is from Genesis 28, verses 10 and following. We'll be looking at the text in the course of the sermon. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can trust you and trust your care throughout the sojourn of this life. And we give you praise that this is the case. And as we look into this particular text this morning, we pray that you might bless us to this end, to trust your care throughout the travel and the sojourn of this life. We pray in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Imagine you're visiting in a local cemetery. I'm purposely saying a local cemetery rather than one in China or Japan. And as you pass by the graves, although they may be marble or granite, and some have upright headstones and others are flush with the grass, you notice some similarity between the headstones. There's a name, and then there are two dates, perhaps separated by a dash. And, of course, it's the date of birth and the date of death. And as you walk through the rows, you contemplate, well, what does that dash represent? What kind of a life does that space in between those two dates so prominent on the gravestone, what does that space represent? Was the person a Christian? Did they live a life for Christ? Or did they live a life of deception and fraud and deceit? And did they cheat on their exams in school, and then did they later cheat on their spouse? And is that the way they lived? And then as you go down the row, you come across the grave that you're looking for. It's Pastor Ted. And you remember him well because he's the one who led you to Christ. He's the one who mentored you. He's the one who not only shared the gospel with you and taught you the gospel in private and in public, but he lived a life that was in accordance with the gospel. And the testimony that he left was that he always would trust Christ. In thick and in thin, he would trust Christ to carry him down the road in the journey of life. When we enter our text this morning in Genesis chapter 28, we see Jacob entering upon a journey. And we see Jacob's need to trust in Christ throughout the journey that he's on and throughout the life that really he's embarking upon as he enters upon this journey. Let's look at Jacob's journey here. It begins in verse 10. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. Jacob undertook this journey at the direction of his father. His father was sending him on a journey to find a wife. If you go up to the beginning of chapter 28, you read, "So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother.'" And then dropping down to verse 6, you read, "Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take to himself a wife from there. and that when he blessed him, he charged him, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. And so Jacob, in obedience to his father, goes on this journey. It's not a short journey from Beersheba to Haran, which is near the headwaters of the Euphrates River. It's 450 miles north. No freeways, no paved bike paths, a beaten path because of the caravan routes that were prominent there. And so Jacob undertakes this journey. And we see he has a first stopping place. Well, maybe a first stopping place. From Beersheba to Luz, or Bethel, is 48 miles. Now, if you're walking, are you going to walk 48 miles in a day? 2 miles an hour in that terrain would have been a pretty good pace. And so Jacob, probably a couple of days into his journey at least, stops and takes a rest. Let me remind you here, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I are on a journey. You've been called here to seminary, to study. And part of your journey is a block of time you're here to study. And you know not what will take place after you complete this phase of your journey. So it was with Jacob. When he got to Haran, he wound up staying there 14 or 15 years to get the wife whom he was commissioned to receive. And so it goes. But on his journey, on his stop, he receives confirmation from God that he's on course. Look at verse 12. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth with its top reaching to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Taking his rest, a rock for a pillow, he falls fast asleep. And he has a dream. It's a vivid dream. You've had this kind of a dream, haven't you? A vivid dream. A dream so vivid you think when you arise from your sleep, you've been there. You've been in that dream. You've been in another world. And so it was with Jacob. There was a ladder, or perhaps a staircase, reaching from the ground up into heaven. And the angels of God are ascending and descending on this ladder. The ladder is Christ. In John 1:51, Jesus says, you shall see the Son of Man, or you shall see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. A clear allusion to the dream of Jacob. The ladder is Christ, and the angels are ascending and descending on this ladder. A standard interpretation of the text is that the angels will take the souls of dear beloved saints who have passed from this life, and they will take these souls and usher them into the presence of the Lord in heaven. I've mentioned to you a young lady by the name of Robin, a dear friend of my youngest daughter, who passed away this week. And we're confident that the angels escorted her soul into the presence of Christ. And so, Jacob has this encounter with Christ. And he senses the confirmation of the journey he's upon. And the Lord has a message for Jacob. Verse 13, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, your descendants, your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The end of verse 14 is the gospel. This is the promise which was given to Abraham. In you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Paul says, the seed is Christ. In you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth. Isaac received the promise. And now Jacob is receiving the promise. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3:8 says that this promise is the gospel. And so here is the gospel set forth in this dream which Jacob has. In the earlier verse, verse 13, God says that He'll give Jacob the land. Let's pause here for a moment, friends, and realize that the land, the promise of the land, is not the primary promise. And that if you are among those biblical theologians and scholars who think of the land as the principal thing, you are mistaken. Because the land was simply a foreshadowing of the greater rest of heaven. And when you read the next verse, in verse 14, the promise is that the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will spread out over the whole earth, west and east and north and south. The seed of Abraham will cover the entire earth. The world was promised to Abraham, not just a little plot of land in the Middle East. So don't lose your focus on the gospel, and don't lose your focus on heaven, which is to come. That's where your focus should be, on Christ, who sits at the right hand of God the Father. On your journey, keep your focus on Jesus Christ. And yes, there's not only an eternal promise, but there's temporal promise also. Verse 15. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Yes, Jacob, I will be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. I will be with you, says the Lord, and I will walk with you on your journey, and I will ensure that you complete your task. Interesting, isn't it, that the Lord does not tell Jacob how many years it's going to take for the task to be completed. He's gracious to us in this way, isn't he? And we come to understand that each step along the way builds so that we can complete the task more successfully as He teaches us all along the way. And what must we do? We must trust Christ to care for us throughout the journey of this life. And He says there's a promise at the end, heaven which is to come, and there is my care as you walk throughout this journey. I remember, what was it, 11 years ago when President O'Neill came to Sterling, Kansas and visited the Pruto household? And at that point, I was ready to retire in Sterling, Kansas. But guess what? God had other plans. I had no idea what those plans were. And if you would have told me 12 years ago I'd be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I would have said, oh, I don't think so. But God had other plans. And what are we called upon to do? Trust Christ's care throughout the journey of life. And when we left Kansas, someone came along with a check for the full amount of our house and gave it to us in a few days after we put our house on the market. The confirmation came. Praise God. This is how He works. He takes care of us in this life, and He walks with you and me in this life. But then, as there's a commission for the journey, and there's confirmation we should be on our way, and God gives you that vision of the future and the gospel and promises His care in the present. You need to pause. You need to pause at times and recognize the goodness and the graciousness of God. Let's look at our text again. Verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning and took a stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil upon it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. However, previously, the name of the city had been Luz. He probably got there late in the evening and the gates were closed and he had to sleep outside the gates. And he lays down and awakes and is astounded. God is in this place. In the providence of God, you have brought me here, he says to the Lord. And he recognizes that this is the case. Isn't it a good thing when you awake from your slumbers, not only from sleep, but from the slumbers of doing your daily tasks and realize that God Himself has brought you thus far in your journey. And you realize that this is actually the case. And you pause. And you say, this is the house of God. This is a meeting place with Him. Your house of God might be your private devotions and the reading of the Bible. And as you read, God meets with you and light floods your heart and your mind and the Scriptures pop off the page and you realize, yes, this is a word for me. And the house of God may be your weekly meeting with God's people. That's the house of God, the assembly of God's people. And God promises to meet with His people and to confirm His covenant with His people in those weekly Sabbath worship services. How good it is to come together and sing God's praise and to recognize the goodness of God in your life. But then the journey must continue. And so it is with Jacob. Verse 20 and following. Then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, I will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the sons of the east. Jacob made a vow. And it's not a bargain with God. It's actually a confession of faith. And you can look at it this way. If God will be with me, and I'm sure He will be, and if God will keep me on this journey that I take, and I'm assured already that He will take me on this journey, and if God will give me food to eat and garments to wear, He did it with Moses and the people of old, surely He will do it with me, and I return to my father's house in safety, that's the promise. And I'm sure that it will come about. Then the Lord will prove to be my God. It's not a bargain. It's a confession of faith. That God will prove that He is my God by doing these things. And how often, friends, Does God prove to you that He is your God by His tender, loving care throughout your life and through the gospel which He has been pleased to give to you? And so Jacob continues his journey, trusting the care of Christ. Now, you ought to be reminded that this Jacob was kind of a rascal, wasn't he? Well, let's think about ourselves. I submit to you, friends, we're peas in a pod with Jacob. He's not so different than each of us. And we're not so different from him. And God's dealings with individuals do not change. Oh yes, He has different outcomes for different people and different gifts for different people. But be assured that God deals with you, and you too, like Jacob, are called upon to live in trust of Christ throughout life's journey. Yes? Robin, that young mother, is no longer with us. A very good friend of my youngest daughter, Christy. And she had a faith in Christ throughout the journey of her relatively short life. And she believed that Jesus Christ would heal her, if not in this life, but in the life to come. And she prepared her family . And last Saturday, as Irma and I were sitting in a restaurant remembering our own anniversary, a text message came from our daughter. Robin received her heavenly healing about noon today. She left a testimony. I know what that dash on her gravestone is going to represent. Trusting Christ's care throughout the journey of life. That's part of the lesson that comes from this text in Genesis 28. Jacob had to learn that lesson. Trust Christ throughout the journey of life. And that's the lesson for you and for me too. Trust Christ throughout the journey of life. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you're good and gracious. You give us many promises, having called us. Cause us to keep our eyes on the gospel and of heaven which is to come, knowing that you'll care for us in this life. And work that faith in us, so that throughout the journey of this life, we do indeed trust the care, your care, of us in Jesus Christ. We pray in His good name. Amen.